This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is hour number two as we continue along on Wake Up Call SportsMap Radio. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up in just a couple minutes as we're still sort of processing week 10 in the NFL yesterday. Look, I think in the end that the cream rises to the top here. I think in the end, teams that are really good just sort of separate themselves from mediocre teams. Sort of see that a lot. But again, as we've been saying all season, there's just this one extra game and this one extra playoff team that sort of makes me step back and go, all right, I'm not 100% sure if my old conventional wisdom really works out here. So look at the standings in the AFC, for example. And last night, the Kansas City Chiefs go to 6-4. But it is a different 6-4 now, or at least it's the perception of where they are at 6-4 with their six wins. And let's say a Baltimore team or a Steelers at 5-3-1 who could have had a win to be 6-3, or a Buffalo 6-3 or New England 6-4. Kansas City, with their six wins, last night made you go, all right, hold on. Look at what they just did to the Raiders. Now this is the Kansas City Chiefs team that we've been waiting on, right? Five touchdown passes from Patrick Mahomes, 400 yards through the air. We've been waiting all season for this sort of explosion, and now we got it. So how does it change the way we see the AFC? Remember, I told you for 20 years, this conference has been dominated by the Patriots, and then just in sort of their tail end, it was dominated by Kansas City. So again, outside of probably the 2008 season when Brady went down with that injury, we've never had a sort of wide open AFC where it's all fun. Everybody can jump on into the swimming pool. The water's warm. We never really had that. What we've had is one really good team that everybody was gunning for. And if they failed, you would pick up the pieces like a Steelers or a Broncos or somebody else. But the Patriots were always going into every AFC season as the clear favorites to win. And I think Peyton Manning and the Broncos may have changed that, you know, a bit. But that's the way we've had it for 20 years, you now with Kansas City. But now look at it. Tennessee, are you 100% sure Tennessee at 8-2 are the best team in the AFC without Derrick Henry? Are you sure Baltimore is? Are you sure Buffalo is? And what about the New England Patriots that are just breathing down their neck right now at 6-4? And Mac Jones is playing really good football for a rookie quarterback. We'll get into that coming up. Let's kind of sort this out at the halfway point. But right up, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's next on Wake Up Call SportsMap Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
I got a whole weekend of good, the bad, and the dumb material to sort out. That's why Ron does it every single Monday when we come back. Sorts out the best of the good, the bad, and the dumb. So what's the good of the day?
Sometimes, you know, you have too much material. And that's that's exactly what's happening today. Because we have two goods.
Two goods?
Two goods of the day.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Well, I would be doing an disservice and injustice to all you guys out there if I didn't talk about the most famous scoreline in sports history, American sports history, that occurred on Friday.
Go ahead.
2-0.
Yeah, that was the U.S. versus Mexico soccer game.
USA versus Mexico. For whatever reason, USA seems to beat Mexico 2-0 all the time.
So explain the level of importance on this so people understand what a big deal this is.
It's a big deal. This is for World Cup qualifying. This is to qualify for next year's World Cup, which literally will be happening a year from right now.
And the United States right now seems to be in good shape.
They are, after Friday's win, they are top of the table. They are first place. Now, they're first place, I think, because of head-to-head. I believe that they are tied on points with Mexico.
Right.
But they're given the nod for first place because they just beat Mexico.
So is there a different feel for this American soccer team? Like they've got their act together
rather than the last
World Cup?
I don't. Well, definitely, this squad is definitely better than last year's squad.
Yeah,
this is a young squad. The game on Friday, you could really see the youngness in this team.
All right.
Almost a fearless of this team, where Mexico is, you know, the seasoned players. They have a bunch of players who are over the age of 30. you know, kind of slowed down, kind of they controlled the tempo of the game, at least tried to, and they succeeded in the first half. Second half, I felt like they were just chasing a lot. And the U.S. is just a bunch of young kids who are like, you know what? We don't care.
Yeah, good.
We don't care. We're just going to go out there. We're going to do our thing. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. We don't care.
Remember in the movie Glengarry, Glenn Ross, when Alex Baldwin is talking to those salespeople and he goes, they're out there waiting to give you their money. Are you man enough to take it? That's what I feel like saying to U.S. soccer. There's a country that is ready to scream for this team.
Yep.
If you just go out there and put together a really good soccer team that can be competitive, this country is ready to explode for that. Just go do it. Go play. Go. Take the team that you've got and go out there and win some of these soccer games.
No, exactly. I mean, that's.
We really are supportive. When people go, oh, it's not popular. No, it is. When the United States wins, it's extremely popular.
When it's in a World Cup situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've seen too many United States teams in the World Cup where everybody stopped what they were doing to watch it.
Well, here's the thing.
They're dying to root for this team.
You have said this time and time again. We don't have anything else that kind of unites.
Nothing. There's nothing that unites us together. Nothing unites. Nothing brings us together for one thing. We're all rooting for the one thing. Not even the Olympics, because the Olympics are all over the place and scattered with different events. But I mean, United States versus Portugal, 1 o'clock, in the afternoon on a Tuesday. We all just stop what we're doing and watch it.
Yeah.
Like we're dying to do it. So.
Well, I mean, if you're hankering, if you still got that World Cup fever, USA does play Jamaica tomorrow night.
All right, very good.
Because when they ever do these international, they take a break from all the professional leagues. They usually throw two games in there. All right. So, yeah.
Well, what's the second good?
The second good, have you ever wondered what elite pitchers do during their offseason?
Usually just rest arms. Is that what they do?
Some like to get a little throwing action in early. And that's exactly what Cardinals ace pitcher Adam Wainwright did. He took it. He took his pitching talents to the county fair.
Oh, did he really?
Where there was a guy in a dunk tank, just heckling. I don't know. I watched this video a couple times. I don't know if this guy knew who was throwing the ball at him.
Would you recognize Adam Wainwright?
I don't think I would.
I don't think I would either.
I don't think I would. Especially Adam's wearing. He's just in normal street clothes.
Yeah,
he's not wearing his uniform.
Yeah, but he
has a hat on.
Gear.
Now, I don't know, maybe if you're a huge Cardinals fan, maybe you would be like, oh, I could pick him out of the crowd. Like, I was a big fan of Gary Carter back then. I think I would be able to recognize Gary Carter.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, there's certain players I guess we'd be able to
recognize. I don't think I can recognize Adam Wainwright.
I don't think so either.
So he pitched to the dunk tank?
Yeah, he paid the $38,000 to get two balls because it's always expensive.
Exactly.
Got his two balls. Guess how many he needed?
I'm thinking one.
Just one. Threw a strike right down the middle. The guy's heckling all the way until you hear clank and dunk.
That's awesome. By the way, I wonder if the Cardinal management was okay with this. It's all fun and games until you need Tommy John surgery.
Exactly.
For throwing a carnival baseball at a dunk tank.
That's not even a real ball. It's kind of probably weighted a little bit differently. So
exactly.
You think you're throwing, but you're not. And I don't know. But
Adam Wainwright keeps signing one-year deals to play for the Cardinals. Like
he does.
Like he's been on that team forever, and he keeps signing.
I had to look it up.
Him and Yadier Molina have been together forever.
Yeah, I had to look it up because it was like, I sat there. I was like, he's with the Cardinals. I only know him as being a Cardinals. Oh. I mean, he's been on the Cardinals since, 2000?
Yeah, forever.
2005.
Right. In about 15 years. He's like 37 years old or something like that. He's
you know, and last season, not so bad. 17-7.
I know. That's why he keeps... He keeps showing him that he's worth a spot in the rotation.
I know. 174 strikeouts. I mean, that's, even if you're not the ace, that's good enough for number two,
stuff.
Number three, number four.
Good stuff.
So,
all right, what's the bat of the day?
The bat of the day. I sent you this video because it's awesome.
All right.
But I'll set the scene for you. It's a TikTok video that makes its way around the internet because I got to find it so I can read the comments on it. But there's a young, attractive blonde. And she was so excited to be doing this TikTok video because she was getting a video taken or, it almost looks like a selfie except in video form with none other than O.J. Simpson.
Our good friend of the program, O.J. Simpson, who keeps coming on. He's probably been made more appearances in The Good, the Bad, and the Dumb than any
he
individual.
He does. Yeah, I mean, I can't get enough of him. I think that's a personal choice of mine, and I hope it's a personal choice of you all out there, too. But what makes this video great... It's not the fact that this young blonde is excited that a metal murderers. She's taking a photo or a video with the murderer. We kind of use that term loosely since he was never convicted, but you know he did it. But it's when OJ leans in for a kiss.
Oh, I can only imagine.
The face she makes is priceless.
Oh.
Because at the beginning of this film, you kind of get the idea that because she's young enough that maybe she doesn't know about the OJ murder trials.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she does look young enough. Now, I mean, it's bar lighting, heavy makeup. I mean, she could be a lot older than she looks. But, you know, just first glance at it, she looks like, you know, maybe she was, you know, a toddler during the OJ trials. And so she really doesn't know who OJ is outside of, you know, stories and hearsay. When he leans in for a kiss, she has this look of like this realization, like, I'm not going to end up like that other girl, that other blonde girl.
Yeah, no, we're not. Yeah. So maybe she has some idea of what's going on.
I think some idea. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to be honest with you, man. There are just a few things in the sports world that I want to remind younger generations of. All right. Like one, for example, Terry Bradshaw called his own plays in leading the Steelers to 4 Super Bowls. That goofy giveaway all my money guy that you see on the Fox pregame was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I got to remind young people about that.
Ever.
And the other one is O.J. Simpson murdered 2 people. Like, stop enjoying his presence at nightclubs. Stop telling him he deserves a spot on the NBC sports team. He was once on the NBC sports team. All right? Him and his Bruno Mali shoes were on the NBC sports team. That's what got him in trouble when they showed a picture of him actually wearing the shoes, holding an NBC microphone. And these young people are like, you're great. You should be a commentator. He was a commentator until he murdered 2 people. I feel like you have to tell young people this all the time.
Yeah, it kind of derailed his career.
They love this guy. They love this guy.
This
girl, though, this face is really priceless. She really doesn't want to kiss him. Okay.
But she is so excited to be getting a video with him.
She's thrilled.
I mean, I don't even know if I'd want a photo taken. It's a weird, it's one of those things, like, if he's there, I'd be like, oh, I'd like to document this, but at the same time, I don't want to document it.
I know, but that's the thing, Ron. I feel like if I saw OJ somewhere, I'd take a picture too.
Yeah. Wouldn't you?
Like, that's the weird thing. If I saw OJ walking around Nashville, could he get out of Las Vegas? I don't even think he can.
Well, he was. Remember, he was in Buffalo.
Oh, that's right. He was in Buffalo. That's right.
So maybe he can get a ticket to Nashville.
If I was in Vegas and I saw OJ, I'd probably take a picture too. It's a weird thing. I know he murdered 2 people, and I'd still want to take a picture.
I mean, and isn't it weird? Because you would never want a picture with Charles Manson. You never want a picture with, like, Unabomber or Night Stalker. No. Any of those, you know, prolific people we know throughout history that murder people. But OJ's in there like, maybe.
Remember, they have a term for this. Every time OJ comes in contact with somebody and wins them over, you got OJ'd. That's what that was the term that the inner circle used for his amazing charisma and charm.
You got juiced.
No, not you got juiced.
Reality show
where he was selling oranges on the side of a South Florida road. Yeah, you got juiced.
You got juiced.
What's the dumb of the day?
One of the dumbest things I think I've heard in a long time.
Oh, that's pretty bold. Given we do this 5 days a week.
I think you'd be on the same page as me. Sylvester Stallone recently claimed that if he was to make Rocky IV again, he would not kill off Apollo Creed.
Oh, okay. Why did he say that?
I'm not sure, but I don't think that's...
Is it because Carl Weathers is still alive and probably could use more work?
Maybe.
Is that why? Carl Weathers is like, gee, I wouldn't have mind being a part of, I don't know, Creed 2.
Yeah.
Or maybe Rocky 6. I wouldn't mind have been in all those movies there, Sly. But no, you had to kill me. You had to have me killed by the Russian in front of the American crowd while I was dancing to a James Brown song. Thanks, Sly. Yeah, maybe that's the case.
I just don't. I don't think the movie would work.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think there had to be a vengeance angle to Rocky wanting to fight on Christmas Day in Russia, go to Siberia and train. Get yelled at by his wife that he couldn't win.
Yeah.
What other things happened in that movie?
He thought that, you know, instead, you know, what he could have done was, have him in a wheelchair. He could have become the next Mickey.
Yeah, right. Maybe so.
You know, instead. And like you said, I mean, you know, be a part of Creed.
Like I think the revenge angle mattered a lot, right? I think it did. But I don't know. Maybe there's a way you could work.
I guess
around
I mean, you know, maybe you know, like how you put, you know, he was in a coma. See, the thing I would hate it with a passion is that, you know, say Apollo Creed didn't die, right? Apollo goes into a coma. Drago put him into a coma.
Right.
Rocky fights him. Everything stays the same as it was. And then what, at the end, like, are they wheeling out Apollo Creed?
Apollo's okay. That might have been
better. That's my thinking. It's like, I think it's too gimmicky.
That's true. Yeah, I think it's too gimmicky, right? I think he had to, yeah.
He had to die.
Yeah, he doesn't throw the towel. I mean, all that stuff.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know. Maybe it's not the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
No, but I like the movie the way it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because all we really care about is USA versus Russia.
That's it. That's all
I care.
Total Cold War propaganda at its finest. Rocky IV.
And if you need to know more about it, go to the podcast. That whole segment we did last week.
Last week. Yeah, exactly. We did a whole segment on Rocky IV.
And I isolated that whole segment because...
Yeah, we did a good deep dive into that.
Who doesn't like good Cold War propaganda?
And anytime I can talk Rocky movies, I always will. Always will. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Coming up more from the NFL on Sunday, and then the rise of the Patriots. That's next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All righty, your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking. Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. See better, drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. By the way, on Twitter, I hate to burst your bubble about Bradshaw, but it's not that hard to call a halfback dive and hand it to Franco Harris. Oh, that is harsh. That is a stab in the chest. Come on. Bradshaw threw 4 touchdown passes in the Super Bowl 13 against the Cowboys. Threw 2 touchdown passes in the game against the Rams in Super Bowl 14, but he also threw 3 picks. But nevertheless, come on now. He called his own plays. Right? It was so easy. Why don't they let quarterbacks do it now? They got to put radios in their helmets. But my overall point wasn't that Bradshaw was, you know, the greatest quarterback of all time because he called his own plays. My point is that sometimes later on, if you have a sort of persona or personality, sometimes what is lost is that you were once very good at your job. So if you're a young person, for example, and you kind of grow up and you like the NFL and you watch the pregame shows and the halftime shows and you see Terry Bradshaw and he's kind of goofing and he's you know, doing the Terry Bradshaw thing that he's doing right now, it's you almost forget that he was a really good quarterback in his day, winning 4 Super Bowls and called his own plays. And the comparison I was making to OJ is that young people get all excited when they see OJ, and they forget that 25 years ago, he was on trial for murdering 2 people. So that's my point, is that sometimes you have to sort of remind younger generations that there were certain players that, you know, were really good athletes, that were really good. Like Frank Gifford is a perfect example of this. Frank Gifford, he used to be on Monday Night Football for a long period of time, one of ABC's commentators. Frank Gifford was one of the most, he was probably the biggest college football star in the country back in his day at USC. I'm not kidding. They used to, like... One person, one sports writer wrote a piece called Frank Gifford's Girl. And all it was a piece about his girlfriend because he was so famous that the girlfriend had to be famous too. It was Frank Gifford was time at USC and later on became a broadcaster and a very good broadcaster and a play-by-play announcer at that one period of time. But he was also a very good football player, played for the Giants, played obviously in college at USC. Archie Manning is another one. Archie Manning. You know, you may know him as the patriarch of the Manning family, but he's an Ole Miss legend. And while he played for the Saints and the Saints hardly won games, he's still in the Southeastern Conference territory. Archie Manning is a legend, absolute legend. So sometimes you just sort of have to remind young people of where you're at. Speaking of which, the New England Patriots are back in our lives now. Thank you for taking a year off. Now the Patriots are 6-4, breathing down the neck of the Buffalo Bills in the AFC. And guess who's playing well? Mac Jones. Now, listen, you're going to hear a lot, especially when it comes to rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year, and whatnot. Mac Jones is playing great. He really is. But, you know, slow down a little bit and remember that we see this occasionally with rookies who are on teams that are better fit to win games than others. Remember, if you're Zach Wilson, you went to just a rundown Jets team that needed to be rebuilt. If you are a Trevor Lawrence, you're going to a Jacksonville who you know exactly why they had the number one overall pick. Now they have a new coach and they're doing stripping that team down and building it back up again. Those are not really ideal situations to go into to start showing off your skills as a quarterback. But in Mac Jones's case, he's going to a Patriots team that is guided by one of the brilliant minds of all time. He's going to a team that, I mean, look at the roster that they built around him. Eventually, all of that was going to start working out. But even if it didn't, there were plenty of people that could pick up the slack of players that, all right, maybe we thought he was going to do this or that, and he's not. We got other guys that are doing that too. The Patriots have won four straight, and the Patriots are 6-4. And before you go off about what kind of 6-4 team this is, let me remind you that they have a win against the Jets that aren't very good, the Texans that aren't very good. Oh, look, the Jets again were still not very good. The Chargers that are decent, the Panthers who at the time weren't good, and the Browns who are iffy. But the Browns win was a little eye-opening on how they did it. A 45-7 win where Jones threw three touchdowns and just looked like a veteran presence under center. Now, are the Patriots a team that is capable of making a run towards the end of the season to be good enough to win a Super Bowl? I don't know, but here's the thing. The AFC is a lot more open, right? There isn't a juggernaut yet. We may see it in the emergence of what Kansas City did last night. If that's the Chiefs team going forward, maybe they take over. But I will tell you this. I still believe, and they're not proving me right now, and it'll probably be 2 or 3 weeks, and then I'll finally scream, I was right about this all along. But here's the thing. I think the Tennessee Titans are going to miss Derrick Henry in a way that's going to derail them a bit. I don't think they can keep this up without Derrick Henry. I think he's that important to the way Mike Vrabel runs that offense. I think he's extremely important. And we know that because he's look how many times he carries the ball. Who's the lady from the AP, Teresa Walker, that comes on with us to talk Titans?
Yeah.
She said it too. She said that they talked to Mike Vrabel about this. Like, you know, you kind of roll the dice with Derrick Henry towards the end of the season where you give him so much workload and you're kind of hoping that at the end of the season during the playoffs, he's not worn out because running backs tend to do that. But Derrick Henry being absent from this team is so critical that I just don't know if, you know, eventually you're going to see it play out. So, yeah, the Patriots are in the conversation, but I don't know at their best, are they better than the Bills' best? Are they better than the Chiefs' best? Are they better than the Baltimore's best? Are they better than even Tennessee's best? I don't think so yet, but right now they're playing really good. That was a pretty good throttling of the Cleveland Browns. And right now the Cleveland Browns are hurting. I mean, really, really hurting. It's really starting to come apart. They don't, you know, Case Keenum was in the game yesterday and they're 5-5. Certainly not out by any means, but whatnot. The Denver Broncos lost to the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday. And this comes a week after they beat one of the top NFC teams in the Dallas Cowboys. But one play that is getting overly criticized is Teddy Bridgewater and his missed tackle on a fumble return for a touchdown in which he went, ole, I'm not going to be doing that. And he's getting heat for this. But I have a question for those of you who think quarterbacks should be diving and tackling football players who have the ball, big defensive players that have the ball. Ask yourself this question. Is that what you want from your starting quarterback? Do you really want them to be diving in and making big-time tackles? Something they're not trained to do. We'll talk about that coming up next. And also, the Cowboys got back on track. What does that mean now? Oh, we got a lot to dive into as we continue to look at Week 10 of the NFL. We still got a Monday night game tonight as the Rams go on the road to face San Francisco. It's all coming up as we get Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Welcome back to Wake Up Call.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Time now for Buy or Sell.
Buy or Sell.
All right, it's time for Buy or Sell. I love doing these. It was so fun. We just kind of thought about doing this, coming up for this segment. All right, Ron has prepared a number of situations, and I either buy or sell them based on the circumstances within those situations. All right, let's get started.
Well, I mean, the only thing we could do on a Football Monday is overreaction.
Oh, of course.
So
we love to do.
We have some NFL Week 10 overreactions because why not, right?
Lay it on me.
All right. The Patriots have found their new Tom Brady and Mac Jones.
Well, Tom Brady is a little bit of a steep climb.
Hey, overreactions. We go to the extreme.
Exactly. Drew Bledsoe, maybe? How about that? Steve Grogan?
So if it was supposed to be the new Dred Bledsoe, does that mean Mike White was supposed to be Tom Brady?
Maybe so. Yeah, maybe so. I don't know, but I will tell you this. I feel like the Patriots got their franchise quarterback right now if he continues to grow like this.
I do, too. Know? I think,
they got a guy for the next couple of years. We'll see where it leads to, but I don't think he's like, oh, we're going to wait for the new guy, another guy.
Yeah,
I think he's working out fine.
I don't think there's going to be another Tom Brady. I won't say that. I won't say there won't be another Tom Brady. There won't be another Tom Brady for like another 40 years.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, none of the quarterbacks that you're seeing right now are the next Tom Brady.
How much of this offense needs to be more complex? I mean, is it a little more simplified? Is it exactly what they want? That's kind of the question I have.
I think it's going to be one of those things where if Mac Jones does in fact look like the man, I think it'll be an offense that gets complex year after year as long as Belichick is at the helm.
I like watching him play. I think he throws a really nice football. I mean, he's a really good quarterback. And you know what? We don't usually get that from Alabama QBs in the NFL. You know, we get these guys that play at Alabama, win championships at Alabama, and they get to the next level and they sort of disappear for a while, right? Or like, we still don't know about Tua. We know that AJ McCarron is pretty much a career backup now. And, you know, Greg McElroy really didn't make it. And I'm trying to think of some others real quick off the top of my head. But Mac Jones looked like he's going to be a solidified starter for this team for a number of years.
Yeah. It's because Alabama and quarterback just don't go hand in hand in the NFL.
Yeah. You know, they don't light it up. But they
should at some point.
They should at some point, you think, right? Exactly. But, yeah, no, I like him. And again, I think this was the right choice. I think this was the right guy. I was critical of it because I thought, whoa. Like, you went out and got all of these players, spent all of this money, and you're going to go rookie. Because rookie usually means, guys, he's going to grow, okay? Chill. Like, play football, and this kid's going to learn as we go, okay? But the Patriots were like, no, we got to win. We got to make the playoffs, and he is the best person. He got so much praise in August for his work that, you know, it's starting to look like those people were right.
Yeah.
He can play this position pretty well.
We thought it was crazy that they were going to start him.
I thought it was insane. I really did.
No, for sure. Cam was going to start. They'll bring him in midseason.
Yep.
Nope. Belichick knew what he's doing. How about this one? The Lions finally got a positive result. This will lead them to a victory Sunday against the Browns.
Yeah, you know what? I keep looking at it this way. I think if you're the Steelers, you got to be really ticked off that you got a tie. It's a winless team that's a bad team. If you're the Lions, I don't know if this is a bad result because they didn't play well either. It's not like the Lions. Look, if you're in the locker room and the Lions went, that's as good as we're going to play and we got a tie out of it. No, the Lions made a ton of mistakes too. And we were talking about this off the air. The field was kind of sloppy. It was kind of a messy day. You know, you can throw this sort of skill level can get a little bit more equal in situations like this. But the game, there were plenty of missed tackles, missed opportunities, dropped passes, penalties, bad decisions. It's on both sides. I think if you're the Lions, you go, look, we didn't have a very good game and we got a tie. That's got to make us feel good. And I think if you're the Steelers who are trying to catch Baltimore and tie them for the division lead, I think you got to be really upset that you let a bad team hang around long enough to tie you. I mean, they went for the win. They sent out a kicker. The story went, this kicker that the Lions had, he couldn't make the team in Minnesota as a kicker when he was in college, so he became a punter. And how he ended up on an NFL roster, nobody really knows. And yet he went out there to try to kick a field goal that would have gave him the win. And again, crappy day, but he missed it by a long shot.
Yeah.
you know. But I think if the Lions, I think it feels pretty good. Do they win next week against the Browns? I think they could.
Yeah. I mean, you know, on paper, you wouldn't have thought so. But now, or a few weeks ago, I should say, you wouldn't have thought so. But now you're looking at, like, Browns are vulnerable.
Browns are really vulnerable.
They haven't been playing great at all. No. Now, you know, they're almost like a one-dimensional type team. And,
yeah,
you know, Baker Mayfield is not playing that great.
He's so. Getting hurt and all that. So,
yep.
Yeah, but they had, you know, I think the Lions can – they feel like they're right there. And this might be the one extra step they got to take before they get the win. So, yeah.
About Cam Newton will be named the starter for Sunday's game against the Washington football team, and he'll remain the starter for the rest of the season.
Okay, this is tricky because you and I made this point when we did this story earlier. P.J. Walker didn't have a terrible game. He didn't have a great game, but he didn't have a bad game either. He had a pretty good game. If you're Matt Rhule, do you do this as the head coach? Do you really make this decision when nobody lost the job, right? P.J. Walker didn't really lose the job. But on the other side of the coin, you couldn't feel like Cam Newton is already taking over the team emotionally, spiritually, and enthusiastically like he did in that game. So it's a really dangerous situation. My bet is going to be no. I'm going to sell this. I think Matt Rhule goes one more week with P.J. Walker. But the Cam Newton starting time is coming eventually.
Fair enough.
All right.
How about Urban Meyer will not last past this season as the Jaguars head coach, but he'll remain with the team as a consultant of some sort.
I'm going to sell that, but that's a pretty good angle that you got there. Is there any inside story that I'm missing about this, or did you just come up with that?
Just the fact that, you know, he keeps losing, and he probably thought he was going to come in and win big with Trevor Lawrence, and he's not, and people are always wanting his head.
I've been wondering about Urban Meyer. Yeah. Look, there's a couple of things about this. One, I think Urban Meyer was smart enough to know what he was getting into as an NFL coach, but I don't think he knew to what degree he was getting into. It's like you don't know how cold the water is until you get into it, right?
Yeah.
Like if you know there, like if you have a swimming pool and you're taking water from the hose outside and you know that's cold, and then somebody dumps buckets and buckets of ice in it and you see it and you go, that's cold. But you don't know how cold it really is until you get into it. He knew when he said every week was like preparing for Alabama. I bet in the back of his mind, he had known that, right? Being an NFL coach. But the reason I think he said it was it really dawned on him because now he jumped in that cold swimming pool that it's like Alabama. Does he get tired of that every single week preparing for an elite football team that he can't run over? I mean, no breaks at all. 17 of these weeks where he is in that office for 20 hours a day going over tape of a team he can't beat.
Yeah.
Does that wear on you after a while?
It has to, right?
Right.
So
that every now and then when you do get a win like he had against Buffalo, you feel good, but you only feel good for 10 seconds because now you're watching film of a Colts team that you're like, well, that's what they do well, and let's hope we can stop that.
And everyone's sitting there telling him, it's like, well, if they beat Buffalo, you guys should be able to, you know, put up some points against the Colts and make it interesting, and they don't.
I think his ego is going to prevent him from quitting, but like we said, it's not him quitting. It's him coming up with the ailment that prevents him from continuing.
Well, and that's why I said, you know, it's not him. Maybe he steps down as head coach but takes a consulting role that, you know, it's like it's not really him leaving the school completely or leaving the team completely.
Do you think Urban Meyer is aware that most of us are skeptical of all these medical ailments?
He has
that
to
allows,
be.
Is he aware that most of us are like, all right, another headache? Okay.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it's, you know, he acts like our spouse every time we try to ask her for, you know, the alone time.
Right, exactly.
She's like, oh, no,
eventually,
not today.
You're like, okay, wait a minute. Yeah. 7 times in the last 8
exactly.
days. You know, like in this, it's the same thing here. Like every time he runs into a little bit of trouble or a little bit shaky circumstances, he goes, ah, Elizabeth, I'm coming.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
He goes, I can't continue. And then like, if he does that here, then we're going to go, forget it. forget it. Don't take another job, please.
Yeah, please.
Because you just run. You claim that, you know, poor Shelly, your wife, has to deal with 15 maladies that you have every time that you are on shaky ground as a head
coach. If he takes another job, then you really what it is that you're taking a job away from somebody else. That's more
right,
deserving.
Right. Exactly. Right. Remember, and I said this to my credit, people. Can I just to my credit, I said, if you're Shad Khan and you're making this deal, you sit him down and you go, if I hear one word about a heart attack, stress or anything in the first year, I'm going to get all of my money back. Right. Like, we're working out something in this paperwork because I'm not paying you a 5-year deal here for X amount of dollars for you to go whine and cry to your doctor when we go 1-14 in the first 15 games of the season. Like, I'm not doing this. Like, he's paying him a ton of money to be the head coach for him to pretty much steal this, knowing that he's going to start feeling a little bit of a chest pain because he's not going to be able to handle the Titans coming up in week 14 or whatever it is.
And then come out a few days later, it was just indigestion. Who knew Tubbs would have fixed it?
Yeah, it was just indigestion. Exactly. Exactly.
How about this one? How about the AFC will rue the day that they did not take advantage of the Chiefs' awful play over the last several weeks?
Oh, that's a great one. Yes. Yes, get some separation. I'm telling you, the Chiefs, if you're a Chiefs fan, you got to feel really good today. Because outside of the Titans, you have an opportunity to be dominating this conference again. You know, look, the loss to the Bills and the Titans are tough because you got to kind of beat them in the standings. And right now you're tied with Buffalo with 6 wins, but you still got some work to do with Tennessee. But we got a lot of football left, and that's a high-flying Patrick Mahomes could be running through Arrowhead.
Yeah, and I have no idea if it was just, you know, all the drama that's been encompassing the Raiders over the last couple of weeks.
Right.
You were starting to see it actually catch up with them.
Yeah,
or was it the Chiefs just like, oh yeah, guys, this is how we do it. Remember?
Yeah, that's right. And that's the thing I was saying earlier. I'm not really sure this is the turnaround you wanted. You just got it right now. But who knows what will happen next week? I mean, if they go back to being sort of this offense that is a little bit more troublesome, then yeah, there's, you know, but good God, they looked great last night.
It was at will. That's all.
I mean, seriously, 5 touchdown passes, 400 yards. And by the way, he doesn't put up those kind of numbers often. I mean, like just those generic 5 touchdown, 400 yards moments.
Yeah.
I think he's got only like 3 or 4 in his career. But that was one of them last night where you went, oh, well, great, this team is good.
And the thing that, you know, what we watched last night that we haven't seen in a long time was that the Chiefs were doing things at will.
Right.
Like, if they wanted to score, they could score. If they didn't want to score, they would just hold on to the ball. They were in complete control. It was like Steph Curry shooting 3-pointers last night. You just knew that every single time the ball gets in his hands, like, oh, he's going to make it.
Yeah.
Oh, where you wanted him to shoot him from, 50 yards out or 50 feet out? Yeah, no problem. He'll drain it. That's how it felt last night.
I'm going to buy that one, Ron. I think if you are Buffalo and you are Tennessee, not so much. They're on a 6-game win streak.
Yeah.
But Baltimore.
But if you're a team in the AFC West.
Yeah. If you're a team in the AFC West,
I mean, Chargers,
now, this was a chance.
You missed a golden opportunity.
Yep. Exactly.
That's really all I'm going to say. I don't know about the Broncos or the Raiders.
No, seriously. If you needed a little bit of cushion, you didn't get it. All those teams had 5 wins, and now you've got Kansas City doing that, and you go, oh, great.
Yep.
Fantastic. It looks like, yeah.
How about this one? After the beatdown they just put on the Falcons yesterday, the Cowboys are the team to beat in the NFC.
Woo. Right now, yeah. Because the Cardinals are not full yet. The Rams are still decent, but, you know, I don't know. But, yeah, no, I would say that. And, yeah, I would say the Cowboys. I was thinking about Green Bay last night, you know, now with Aaron Rodgers back, and that was kind of a...
Yes, but the loss of Aaron Jones, I think, changes it.
I think so, too. I think the Cowboys... Yeah, I think the NFC... I think it's the Cowboys right now. I would go with that.
And finally, and I you know, and it pays... That doesn't really pay me to say this, but it's kind of funny. But the NFL gods want the Rams in the Super Bowl this season. Because... Unfortunately, they lose Robert Woods for the season with an ACL tear, but they had already signed his replacement.
So funny OBJ. That you said that. Remember last week we talked about this and we were like, well, you got Robert Woods. Of course you have Cooper Kupp. It's not like he's going to be the focal point of the offense. And then as soon as I say that, like they lose Robert Woods.
Yeah. God's like, oh, you know what? No, OBJ needs to be a focal point.
Just kidding. Robert Woods is going down with an
injury. I mean, most teams are going to be struggling. You know, you lose one of your main guys on offense. Like, you know, we talk about it with, you know, Derrick Henry with the Titans. I mean, they haven't missed a beat yet. They haven't really played any competition. But we know that if Derrick Henry is unable to come back, their ceiling has been hit.
Yeah.
Adrian Peterson, signing Adrian Peterson is not going to get them over the hump. With the Rams, you know, you lose a good receiver, Robert Woods, but OBJ can fulfill that role.
Without question. Without question. All right, that is buy or sell. I love when we do buy or sell. It's great. That's awesome. All right, we'll continue at Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we've got Jared Dubin coming up next hour. We'll talk more NFL again, week 10. We've got a Monday Night Football game tonight. Real quick, what was the other buy or sell on Kyle Shanahan?
That a loss tonight puts Kyle Shanahan firmly on the hot seat.
I got to think it would, right?
I mean, I think so, too.
This is kind of a messy season for the 49ers.
Yeah.
I mean, losing to the Rams at home, it may not be a bad thing, but I
don't even think it has to.
Cardinal team last week was terrible.
But I don't think it has to do with wins and losses as much as just the culture that's going on with the
Niners.
Are they
handling
right now
this everything correctly? That's the question.
What I'm talking about.
Right?
Yeah.
I just don't think they are. I don't feel like they're in control of some of the problems that they've currently got right now.
It almost feels like he doesn't know what to do anymore.
Right. And they certainly are way removed from that Super Bowl looking team from a couple of years ago. Right?
Yes, I mean, they are.
It doesn't feel like two Super Bowls ago that they were in the NFC champs. All right, coming up again, Jared Dubin. We'll continue looking at Week 10 of the NFL. So much to dive into as we continue. It's Tony D, Ron Culver. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.